Deborah Amos, NPR News, Damascus.
An hour before the opening bell on Wall Street, Dow futures down 66. This is NPR News.
WCVE Public Radio, you're listening to Morning Edition, and joining us now from RBC Wealth Management, as he does each Monday morning at this time, here's Brian Ford with his analysis of the business news. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. Hope you enjoyed the beautiful Father's Day weekend.
It was very nice. Well, before we get into all of the news from abroad and your perspective on that, let's talk about the domestic situation. Wasn't too bad a week on Wall Street, right?
No, I would agree. I think it was a pretty good week, actually, despite all the craziness that was going on in Greece and in Europe. Stocks were up a little, due in part to news that central banks around the world were ready to pump more stimulus into the system if it was necessary. What we're watching right now is that the Federal Reserve is going to meet again this week, no doubt to tell us once again that A, U.S. economy is growing but at a slower pace, B, they stand ready to help out if needed, and C, interest rates are going to remain near zero for the next couple of years. I mean, it's sort of like a bad joke, Wayne. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama and the G20 are in Mexico right now, and they may want to take note of a new piece of data that shows that retail sales, which, as you know, is the lifeblood of the U.S. economy, retail sales were lower than expected for May, and more importantly, revised downward for previous months. This is very important because there's a high correlation between retail sales and job growth, i.e., if one goes down, the other may follow.
Okay, Greece. Apparently, voters there have voted for some degree of stability. Why should such a small country as Greece have such an impact on Europe and the rest of the world?
That is a great question. And one admission before we get started, Wayne, I have read more about Greece in the past week than I did in college reading the Odyssey and about the Trojan War in general. How about that?
Yeah.
But basically, here's what we need to know now. The party that supports the euro and keeping Greece in there won, period. That is a big victory because it likely means that for the moment, another bailout of their financial system is not likely needed. Now, the Greeks really had reason to celebrate this weekend because they also beat Russia in a big soccer match as well. So that was a big deal. So the question is, where does Greece go from here? Some analysts say the government may run out of cash as quickly as mid-July. That's a sobering thought. It is possible that Greece, which, you're right, the economy is only about the size of Maryland. It's possible that the Greek government may need to begin what they call privatization of industries that they own. Translation, they need to start selling assets quickly. We're talking about parking meters, and we're talking about industries, industrial factories, and things like that. The upshot for global financial markets today is that a huge unknown has been removed, and markets hate uncertainty more than anything. You know, at least you deal with the devil you know. So the news of the election results, as you heard on the news just now, led to a big rally in Asian stocks, but the rally appears short-lived this morning. And basically, we're pushing our attention to Greece pretty quickly. I mean, to Spain pretty quickly.
Right. We have just about 3 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, after all the news about the economic turmoil in Europe and other places, some would-be investors might take the attitude, well, I'm just not going to invest in those foreign stocks.
Right.
But probably a lot of us are invested and don't know it.
And I think that's a really good question. It's a natural reaction now from investors. We hear it all the time. You know, let's just cut Europe out of our portfolio. Well, it would make sense to focus on just U.S.-oriented companies, right? Well, I read a report last week that did kind of a deeper dive into what you're getting when you actually buy, say, a U.S. index fund, for example. Here are the facts. Of the 500 companies in the S&P 500, those companies get about 70% of their revenue from U.S. operations. That means 30% comes from non-U.S. sources. Now, some industries, like telecom and utilities, are much more homegrown, getting about 90 to 95% of their revenue from here in the U.S., but consider this. If you own big technology companies like Apple or Microsoft, you're getting only about 45% from the U.S. That means more than half of it's coming from Europe and Asia and other places. Consumer staple companies like Procter & Gamble, they also get about 40% of their revenue from outside the U.S. Bottom line, Wayne, it's hard to get a silo portfolio these days. Your best bet is to just know what you own, be properly diversified by asset class, and seek what we call a rising dividend schedule. But it's hard to just cut Europe out of the mix.
Okay, we've got almost 2 minutes now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Nokia is cutting mm-hmm. way back and may be in some trouble, and that prompts the question, what about other big tech companies? What's their future?
Well, Wayne, I call this a sign of the times. I've done this over the years, and it's sort of an observation I have from time to time. And here's my observation today. It is hard to keep a big technology company successful for a long time. Now, how's that for a deep thought? You know, the harsh reality for technology companies is that you must continually innovate or else you're going to become irrelevant. You know, patents expire, and often the barrier to entry for your competitors is low. I thought about this as you mentioned. I've been reading about the continued struggles with Nokia. I mean, they were once one of the world's largest cell phone manufacturers. Hey, I owned a couple of them myself. But now the Finnish company has announced plans to lay off tens of thousands of workers, and analysts are assigning a value of zero, that's right, zero, to their self-mobile device and networks businesses, and they're only looking at the company's cash. Now, I could have said the same maybe of the BlackBerry company, Research in Motion, Motorola, or even Hewlett-Packard, which is rapidly declining in importance. Being consistently on top for so long, like IBM, Google, Microsoft, or Apple, is really quite an accomplishment to go from a smallish startup to a global behemoth. Who's next? How will the new crop of technology darlings do? Facebook, Zynga, LinkedIn, Groupon. I think this is worth pondering for analysts who look at earnings potentials of companies, and also for investors who invariably pin their hopes on a high flyer from time to time.
Okay, thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business news. It's 8:40.